done things a little bit different. We took a break from preaching Isaiah. We're back in Isaiah next week. Took a break from preaching Isaiah to have a series of messages celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation and the solas of the Reformation. And then last week we did something I don't typically do. Preached a typical Christmas message to a certain degree. And then something I haven't done in years and years and years was to just kind of wrap up the New Year diverting from where I was preaching at the time. But we are doing that today. And we have two texts today. They're both in their entirety in your bulletin. The first is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And coupled with that, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And if we were to read earlier in that passage in Philippians, prior to those verses, we would note that the Apostle Paul is speaking of his own personal experience, recounting many things from his own history, and then concluding with the words I just read. And today I want also to get personal as we look back on 2017 and look forward to 2018. This has been a very eventful year for us as a family as well as a church. At the beginning of 2017, the words kidney transplant weren't even on my radar. Yet around April this past year, we were made aware that Barbara would need a transplant or would soon need to begin dialysis. And we began taking the steps to get on the national transplant list and essentially put our lives on hold in case a kidney became available. This was the first year since my retirement that I have not taken a foreign mission trip. The 5 years prior, since I've been retired, always each year at least one, and in 1 year two foreign mission trips. But this was the first year because of this. I didn't take a foreign mission trip. Also, my service with disaster relief was put on hold to a certain degree. I was able to provide some leadership locally. I was able to conduct some training earlier in the year. I was able to go and provide leadership in Phoenix earlier in this year. But here during the greatest hurricane season since Hurricane Katrina, I wasn't able to go, waiting in case a kidney came available. And honestly, folks, that was difficult for me. It was difficult to send teams and multiple teams weekly and not be able to go myself. And the needs really were great this year. Fortunately, New Mexico Baptist stepped up and did everything we were asked to do. And we sent a lot of people and ministered to a lot of people. But I felt a little bit of a hole, not being able to go, not being able to participate that way. And if Barbara's sister Beth had been unable to donate her kidney, we would still be in the same holding pattern. Without a living donor, you're typically looking at a 3 to 5 year or more period before you see a deceased donor come available. And also, if Barbara's sister Beth had not donated that kidney, Barbara would probably by this time be getting regular dialysis, which would be another dimension that we'd have to deal with in our lives. But the transplant was a success, as you know, and we are now adjusting to the new normal of medications and changes in diet. Things that she couldn't eat before, now they want her to eat. Things that she could eat before, now she can't. And been a complete reversal in some areas, and also the addition of the number of medications that she's on. But the healing continues, and we thank you for your continued prayers. It truly was miraculous that so little time elapsed between the notification the transplant was required and where we are today. It's not even 9 months, and Barbara is on the mend. All of the pieces fit together in a way that only God could orchestrate to bring us to where we are now. And at the same time, I've shared this with many of you before, but at the same time, this journey, this kidney transplant journey, has had significant ramifications for our spiritual lives. This event, unlike just about any other in our almost 40 years of marriage, has led us to trusting Christ, not just in life, but in death. This is the year that we truly learned how to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. We have been content to rest in him, knowing that if he provided a kidney, he was good. If he withheld a kidney, he was good. If he preserves our life, he is good. And if he takes our lives, he is good. I can honestly stand here before you today and tell you that our reliance and trust in him has never been greater. And it was this adversity that has been a tool in his hands to bring us closer to himself. You know, I wouldn't wish what we've gone through on anybody for some of the challenges we've had, but I would wish it upon you if you ended up with the same results we've had, not just the result of a good kidney, but the result of learning to grow more dependent upon God. Amen. And in addition to these positives, there's also been sadness this past year. Recently, we had the funeral for Rudy Edmonds, and he was the last member of the pulpit committee that called me here over 28 years ago. And then just yesterday, our family said goodbye to our faithful companion Rico after his battle with bone cancer. Yet in life or in death, God is good and he does all things well. He cares what happens to us and he cares what happens to puppy dogs. These losses make us yearn for a time when death will be no more and every tear will be dried. Amen. There is a purpose in suffering. There is a purpose in sadness. And we do well to learn these lessons. As a church, we have seen change as well. This past year marked the anniversary of the first full year of ownership of this property by Iglesia Sinai. And what we've seen in that first full year showed the wisdom of turning this responsibility and stewardship over to them. They have begun work on expansion and improvement. As soon as PNM gets its act together, we'll see a 600 amp power service here. And then other things will proceed rather quickly. You know, they're planning to have new stuff built on before summertime because they've already demolished the old air conditioning for the main auditorium. If you look out back, it's not there anymore. Also, I anticipate we're going to see significant changes. They're going to upgrade and they're going to add on to these buildings. I expect we will see the new bathroom back in operation as they put in the new sewer lines for that expansion. They want additional bathrooms too. They want that new kitchen. They want new Sunday school space. And they're going to move as fast as possible as soon as they get past some of these roadblocks. Additionally, for us, for Riverside, the fact that we're no longer in the property management business has freed us up for additional ministry. As of yesterday, and we just began in this past calendar year, we began to feed the kids. As of yesterday, we have packed over 8,000 meals for Feed the Kids. If I remember right, the number with yesterday's was 8,020. Well, over 8,000 yesterday. I expect that not only will we continue with that ministry, and at the beginning of 2017, that wasn't on our radar either, was it? We started that just for spring break. We became aware of that ministry and our opportunity to participate there around March time frame this past year. I anticipate we'll continue in that ministry, but also I believe that we're going to be open to other opportunities for service in the coming year as well. Who knows what 2018 is going to open up for us? As Barbara mends and we get back to our normal routine, I also anticipate being able to resume my duties with disaster relief. Also look for an opportunity for an overseas trip as God directs. May not be Spain. My buddy Paul Lazaro, our missionary in Spain, is now in Costa Rica doing some work. God willing, Barbara and I will celebrate our 40th anniversary, and also our church will celebrate its 75th anniversary in this coming year. December 13 of 2018 will mark 75 years since we were incorporated as a church. I believe that we can look forward with excitement to see what God will do this coming year. We've had some new people kind of come and go. Expect we'll see more. I'm hoping that some of these people had other things going on, the end of the year, family, maybe illness. But I'm expecting we'll see more faces. And I recognize our relationship with Iglesia Sinai is only going to grow as well. And I'm excited. I don't know what the year holds, but I'm excited. So how about you? Where do you stand at the end of this year and the beginning of a new one? If there were failures, then follow Paul's advice in our text. See what he says in Philippians 3? Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Forget what lies behind if there are failures. There is nothing in our past that should keep us from straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, many times the past becomes an anchor that keeps us from charting a new course. Until you lift the anchor, the ship doesn't sail. In science, we are anchored in the mud of our failures. The adversary wants us to become mired in the past. And he wants to keep us from moving ahead. He wants you to focus on the past failures. But Paul says, I forget what lies behind. Paul, the persecutor of the church, I forget what lies behind. I strain forward to what lies ahead. Now, at the same time as we strain forward, don't fall into the resolution trap. The world spends lots of energy this time of year making resolutions. But by the end of January, those new exercise bikes become a convenient place to hang up your laundry. And the new diet has devolved somehow to binge pizza episodes, okay? All right? That's because these resolutions typically have the wrong focus. They center on making us better us's. And I just coined a word there, okay? Us's. They want to make us better us's. They're all about us, and they will fail because they don't address our real problem, and the real problem is us. If something's flawed to begin with, making it better doesn't help. Something's broken doesn't fix itself. That's the problem of resolutions. Now look at what Paul says in our passage in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, it begins with Christ. If we are to be new and improved, then it doesn't begin with us, it begins with Christ. We need to recognize that it's not enough to fix the broken old, we must become a new creation. The old has passed away. Once again, we're just putting that old stuff behind us. Behold, the new has come. It doesn't begin with us. It begins with Christ. We need to be in Him, and this is what makes the difference. Not that we become better, but that we come into Christ and let Him make us better. We decrease, and He increases. Now, there's lots of resolutions. I'm going to decrease. I'm going to decrease in weight. Okay, worthy goal. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He says we decrease. When Paul talks here, when John the Baptist says, I must decrease, He must increase, he says it's got to be less of me and more of Christ. Now, this is one of the tests that we can make at the beginning of a new year. Is there less of you and more of Christ? Has there been spiritual growth? Now, yes, we still struggle. Yes, we still have difficulties. Yes, we still have the failures. Yes, we still sin. But has there been improvement? Has there been a steady, charted course towards Christ-likeness? Can we look back on this year and we can say, things I struggle with anger and impatience and whatever your pet sin is, that while I haven't conquered it yet, there has been forward progress as I have relied more on Christ and less on myself. Less of me, more of Him. And look at the passage in Philippians, in Philippians 3. What do we press towards? Not just being a better person. We press on. The goal is the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Once again, it's all about Him. What is it that He wants? That's the prize. The prize experience the upward call of God. What's He called you to do? I mentioned earlier that God willing, I want to take another foreign mission trip. But I'll only go where He wants me to go. Won't just go because say, well, I think it'd be neat to go to such and such. I'm going to let Him lead. Just as He led me to Belize a few years ago. Just as He led me for the involvement in Spain. Maybe going back to Spain, but later in the year, who knows? Maybe a trip to Costa Rica, maybe something else. I don't know, but I'm open to what it is that God wants. Because it's His upward call. It's not my upward call. If we engage in new ministry this year, it'll be ministry that God lays out before us. Not that we just come up and have a committee and say, well, what do you think we ought to do? No, we'll let God's Holy Spirit direct us. I think the Feed the Kids is a good example of that. This opportunity was presented to us. People prayed about it, and there was a willingness and a shared vision for going forward. You know, it wasn't where the preacher said, I think we ought to be doing this. It's the fact that God worked in all of us and brought us to that point. And that's the way He works. It's the same way in a family. You know, I'm not just domineering over my wife. There have been times when I have in the past. But while God has given me the responsibility to be the spiritual head of my house, I would be a fool not to consult my wife. I'd be a fool not to get her input as somebody who knows me and who knows Christ. And so I don't know what this year has in store for you. I don't know what this year has in store for me. But one thing I do know. I want 2018 to be all about Christ. I want us to say that we as a church are pressing on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I want us as individuals to recognize that as we're in Christ, the old is passing away, the new has come. I want us a year from now, as we come to this point at the end of 2018, to see that God has done a work in our midst. God has changed us. He has made us more like Christ. And I want you to experience the same thing that Barbara and I came to this past year, and I pray that it grows in our lives as well. I want us at the end of this coming year to say, in life or in death, Christ is going to get the glory. In life or in death, we're going to trust Him. That's what I want us to see. That's what I wish for you in 2018.